I'm very thankful this morning. Thank you, Sandra, for that prayer. And certainly it is not by power nor by any of my doing, but it's by the Spirit of God. And so we're going to go to the Lord in prayer at this time as we begin. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you once again, Lord, to be with your people, to be in your house, God, among your people, Father God. What a privilege we have. And so, Father, we pray now that you will guide me, Lord, with the message that you've given to share with your people this morning, Father, that we may always remember who you are and your plans for us as your people. We give you thanks and we praise you. May the meditations of my heart, O God, and the words from my lips, God, bring glory and honor to you in every step of the way. We ask it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Now, the word remember is very popular throughout scriptures. It is used 231 times throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And when used as the expression do not forget, it is found 22 times throughout the Bible. I thought I'd go even simpler this morning by defining what the word remember means according to the Webster Dictionary. It means to have a notion or idea come into the mind again as previously perceived, known, or felt. To have a renewed apprehension of. To bring to mind again. To think of again. To recollect as I remember the fact. He remembers the events of his childhood. Or I cannot remember dates. That's how the Webster Dictionary defines the word remember. Now, this period that we're in, from May through July, here in the U.S., it's a time of remembrance and joyful celebrations. For example, the recent graduating class of 2021. How many were you able to attend, you know, whether in person or online? We've had some of our own graduates here at Three Point Bible, and we're very proud of them for their accomplishments. What a blessing it is. For some, it may have been a wedding. And even today, Nick and Joan, they mentioned their anniversary. It's something to celebrate. We remember those dates. We remember those events because they're very special to us. Last Monday for us, if you recall, was Memorial Day. And certainly a day to remember the lives of those who paid the ultimate price so that we can have the privilege of enjoying this freedom we have. We should never forget that. Despite the current state of our country, we should never forget but remember how blessed we are as a nation. As Americans, we have so much for which to be thankful. As Christians, we too have a lot for which we must be grateful. Now, for some, this exercise of remembrance can be a painful experience because of their own unique circumstances. Certain individuals may have played a pivotal role in your life, and consequently, they will always be remembered either in a positive or a negative light. However, I want to remind you that since today is Communion Sunday, I want to talk to you about two things under the theme of remembrance. One, the meaning and application of an expression given to us by Jesus. This do in remembrance of me. Keep that in mind, okay? And the other point I want to bring out today is how this expression relates to our testimonies as believers. I'm going to start with the value of a testimony, which is telling your own story. It is unique because it is your story as opposed to someone else's. Testimonies are important. They are still required in our legal system to help determine the outcomes of court cases. As Christians, our testimonies must be shared from time to time. Okay? In fact, whether we like it or not, we will always be on display Jesus tells us that we are to let our lights shine for all the world to see so that people can come to know him as their Lord and Savior. That's why we are here. Remember the world around us. They will judge us, whether fairly or not, on the basis of some criteria or standard of their own choosing. We have no control over that. However, what do we as Christians have control over? That's my question for you right now, because as Christians, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, and I read for you, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." This is meaningful because in this one verse alone, we find four very helpful and important reminders to all believers given to us from the Apostle Peter. The first reminder is to revere Christ as Lord. That means give him honor and respect at all times. He is Lord and Master. Just like we've been singing this morning, reminding us of who he is. One commentator said, "An exhortation to the readers to continually honor Christ with their lives. Then they need not be speechless when called on to defend their faith. Instead, there will be a readiness to answer." So he, Jesus, must have first place in our lives at all times. That's what it means to revere Christ. The second reminder is related to timing. That we must be ready at all times to give our testimony to everyone, no exception, to everyone who asks. Among other things, this requires a knowledge of God's word, the Bible. And so I say this to say every serious follower of Jesus Christ must be reading, studying, and memorizing the word of God on a regular basis. For example, Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." What about John 14:26? Jesus said this to all his disciples, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." What a blessing we have in Jesus. These are the words of Christ. And so the third reminder is your testimony should give the reason for the hope that you have. For me, I became a Christian at the age of 16 in a high school in Jamaica, not in a church. And yet, I am so thankful. I keep telling people over and over again to this very day. I'm 61, so you reverse that, 16, 61. And yet, I tell people that regardless of my name or position or accomplishments in this world, the greatest transaction that took place was at the age of 16 in high school. So young people, don't discount your youth, but more important, give your heart to Christ early. I got my salvation there, and that's where I met my wife in high school. So don't discount where you are. So we praise God this morning. The thing is, your testimony is important, right? So your testimony should give the reason for the hope that you have. It is your personal and unique story and should reflect your faith journey as a believer. All right? It could include the time elements of before you met Jesus, what happened before you met Jesus. It could include the moment you accepted Christ, as I did, or believers around here that you know of. And third aspect is the resulting impact that decision has had on your life to the present time. If you're going to put the focus on anything, put it on when you became a Christian and what he's doing in your life today. Because there's a danger of dwelling on your past, and you don't want to go there. We're not proud of our past, and God doesn't want us to dig up the things that he's already forgotten. All right, that's a blessing from God. So if you're going to focus on anything, it is how you became a Christian, what led you to Christ, and what is he doing that's real in your life today that's making a difference? And he is, if we let him, right? And so the fourth and final reminder tells us about the attitude that we must have when sharing our story with others. It says, with gentleness and respect. Now, by the way, gentleness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. You know that, right? Galatians 5:22. And so I want us to remember it must be done with gentleness and respect. We can do that as Christians. When we're called on to share our testimony, always remember to do it in gentleness and respect, like the Master, like Jesus, like all the apostles and disciples throughout history. They did it with gentleness and respect. The other point of discussion, the meaning and application of the expression given to us by Jesus, this do in remembrance of me. Now, in preparing this part of my message today, I found an article written by an author named Jason Sarosky. And he's a homeschool dad and worship pastor at a church in Colorado. His article best summarizes my topic for today. And he called it the magnificent truth and the command, do this in remembrance of me. An excellent article. I take no credit for it. So much of what you'll hear now will be from the article that he wrote. Actually, he wrote it a year ago, July last year, during the middle of the pandemic. A time when we here at 3 Point Bible, we chose to reopen our Sunday services, if you recall, with the necessary precautions in place, right? We had to call the church or text the church and let the church know we're coming, and our names were put on the seat. And, you know, we don't see that anymore, right? What a change. That's a good thing. And also, who can forget our 1 p.m. meetings at the water cooler with Paul and Sandra? Sandra's still back there, right? Who can forget that? Whether they were at the beach or not, didn't matter, right? We enjoyed it. And you know, even in March of this year, this church, the leadership, made it a point and challenged us during this pandemic to be in prayer every day for the month of March. Do y'all remember that? These are great and awesome things that God put on our hearts to do. And he wants us to continue doing it, by the way. We don't stop. We continue. And so, from the article, listen to what Jason had to say about the magnificent truth and the command, do this in remembrance of me. In the church, he said, where I grew up, in the front of the room, right below the pulpit, was a table with the words, do this in remembrance of me, inscribed. How many of y'all have been in churches like that? I have seen it many, many times. We don't have it here, but. So, you know, Jason is telling us this. He said, I distinctly remember this and have seen it written out in some form in many churches since then. Why do these words hold such a prominent position in our faith? He then wrote about and quoted the famous passage given to us in Luke chapter 2 about the Last Supper. And here are those words. And he entitled this part, The Origin of Remembrance and Its Fulfillment. Luke 22:19-20 reads, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. He continues, events in the Old Testament often serve the dual purpose of fulfilling God's promises to his people in the moment, while also providing a view of what is to come. This occurrence is one of the most obvious of these, as Jesus fulfills the meaning of Passover. Okay? When Jesus had the supper, it was Passover time. Every Jew knew that, and they observed it. They celebrated this event. Very important event. Jason tells us this verse takes place within the context of the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. You'll see it in Luke and throughout the Gospels. This meal was a part of the Jewish festival of Passover, which had been observed annually since Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt. The original Passover was a miraculous event, a miraculous occurrence, and the pivotal event in the formation of God's people as a nation. After having been enslaved in Egypt for centuries, this represented the night that their tormentors were punished and the Israelites were freed from slavery according to God's promise of restoration. The account from Exodus 12, verses 12 through 14, describes what happened. Hear the word of God again. On that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animal. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day that you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Commemorate means to celebrate, to remember. The Jewish people had observed this meal every year in order to remember God's fulfillment of his promise. Every year they reenacted the preparation of fleeing Egypt and being prepared for whatever came next. Jesus takes this concept to its completion as he reveals that he is the true fulfillment of the Passover. Here we see Jesus commemorating, observing, and remembering what God has done while simultaneously revealing what God is doing and will do. Just as the blood of the Lamb covered the doorposts, the blood of Jesus covers our sins. The disciples would certainly observe this meal again, as would the entire nation of Israel and the church to come. But Jesus is now adding a deeper meaning to it. As we remember the freedom from physical slavery, we also remember the sacrifice of Jesus that frees us from spiritual slavery. The author continues by asking a question and providing a response, which I thought was very helpful. He asked the question, is Luke the only gospel that includes this phrase? Do this in remembrance of me? For such an important command spoken by Jesus, we might imagine that it would be recorded in all four gospels. Yet, this is not the case. And the phrase, do this in remembrance of me, is only found in Luke's gospel. Isn't that interesting? Does this give it any less significance? Not at all, Jason reminds us. It is clear from Paul's writings later on that this phrase was well known and well understood within the church. Paul repeats it verbatim in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It is clear that these words of Jesus held significant importance and were cemented into the hearts and minds of the early church. The author then raises one more question, which is quite relevant, and reinforces what I believe that God is saying to us today here in Jonesboro and in our communities. It's an important reminder. Here's the question and his response. How can Christians practice this command today? The most obvious way that we can practice this command is through doing what the church has done for centuries. Namely, observing communion together regularly. And I may add, by the way, for those of you online, in person, if possible. Right? In person. So Jason says, what the church has been doing for centuries is observing communion together regularly, prayerfully, and thoughtfully considering together what the Lord has done for us. He continues, in verse 56 of John chapter 6, Jesus says something strange that makes no sense out of its context. Jesus said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. In that moment, these words caused many to turn away from him. But we can now clearly see what he was referring to. The fulfillment of the Passover meal in his life, sacrifice, and resurrection. As we observe communion today, we are declaring ourselves to be in community with him and with one another as believers. In our immediate context, in this trying time of quarantine, and remember, he wrote this in July of last year. In this trying time of quarantine and pandemic, it seems nearly impossible to remember Jesus through communion as he instructed his disciples to do, right? In that way, we can be discouraged. However, we can't assume, he said, that Jesus didn't foresee this. Regardless of our situation, we can faithfully remember his sacrifice for us daily in all of our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. I thank God for what Jason has written here because it speaks of what the Lord has laid on my heart today. I want to remind you, church, here at Three Point Bible, our mission statement is what? That we are a community of believers called out by God from various backgrounds and committed to what? Loving God, loving others, and making disciples. That's why we are here. Would you remember how the expression, do this in remembrance of me, relates to who we are as Christians and the awesome opportunities that we have to share our personal testimonies with others? It is my hope that you sincerely do.